朋友们，大家好，今天是4月25号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国会众议院星期四晚上通过了新的纾困法案，特朗普总统将于星期五中午签署通过。此外，他还批评乔治亚州州长星期五开始重启一些经济活动。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄杨毅的报道。
截至美国时间4月24号星期五为止呢，美国境内感染了新型冠状病毒的人数已经达到了大约90万人，而死亡人数也已经突破了5万人。那么就在星期四呢，美国的国会众议院通过了这个法案，薪资保障项目以及加强健保法案。国会议长佩洛西表示，这笔钱呢将用来帮助弱势族群以及小型企业。我们来看一下佩洛西是怎么说的。
So $60 billion in a set aside.For, shall we say, the underbanked, the women, minorities, veterans, Native Americans, rural folks, people who didn't have big banking relationships but had big credit needs. Another $60 billion in loans and grants for small businesses, all of small businesses. And then $100 billion for hospitals and testing.
之前白宫曾经推出3个阶段的重启经济活动的指南方针，不过呢，现在有几个南方的州在还没有达到标准的情况之下就已经准备要重启经济活动了，包括了乔治亚州在今天也就是星期五就已经要重新开放包括健身房、理法院、保龄球馆等等的项目。对此呢，特朗普总统在白宫的疫情简报会上只是表达了他对于乔治亚州州长的不满。
I want the states to openMore than he does, much more than he does. But I didn't like to see spas at this early stage, nor did the doctors. Is that a correct statement, Deborah? I didn't like to see spas opening, frankly. I didn't like to see a lot of things happening, and I wasn't happy with it. And I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. Spas, beauty parlors, tattoo parlors. No, that's that. And by the way, I want them to open. Excuse me. I want them to open.And I want them to open as soon as possible. And I want the state to open. But I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. I will tell you that right now. Yeah.
之前 CNN 报道说朝鲜最高领导人金正恩开刀失败在医院当中病危的消息，那么对此呢，特朗普总统在星期四晚上的新闻简报会上则是驳斥 CNN 的报道是假新闻。
I won't say that. We have a good relationship with North Korea, as good as you can have. I mean, we have a good relationship with North Korea. I have a good relationship with Kim Jong-un, and I hope he's okay. And somebody would say, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not terrible. I hope he's okay.And I think it was a fake report.
根据韩联社的报道，韩国青瓦台的高层官员表示，金正恩以及他的亲信目前是停留在地方的城市，没有迹象显示金正恩的身体有恙。那至于金正恩离开平壤的理由呢，有可能是因为亲信感染了冠状病毒。而韩国统一部的副发言人曹慧石24号在例行记者会上也说，韩国的国家安全保障会议常务委员会也讨论了最新朝鲜的动向，并且强调朝鲜的内部现在没有异常的情况出现。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
北约领导人警告说，中国可能趁欧洲深受新冠疫情打击之际掠夺工业资源和基础设施。不过分析人士也指出，中国对疫情的态度可能使得欧洲国家更加的抗拒中国。我们来看美国之音记者李宝的报道。
北约4月15号举行了国防部长视讯会议，讨论了在新冠病毒疫情当头之时如何加强合作维护战备能力。之后呢，北约秘书长斯图尔滕贝格在记者会上说，与会者讨论了新冠病毒疫情对北约安全的长远影响。
The geopolitical effects of the pandemic could be significant. Some may seek to use the economic downturn as an opening to invest in our critical industries and infrastructure, which in turn may affect our long-term security and our ability to deal with the next crisis when it comes.
斯图尔滕贝格在书面发言的时候呢，没有直接提到是什么人在趁人之危。不过呢，在接下来的问答环节当中，有记者直接提到中国一直在欧洲购买具有军事和战略意义的基础设施和关键的厂商。斯图尔滕贝格在回答的时候呢，进一步解释了北约国家的忧虑。
And the fact that we will now most likely have an economic downturn may make some allies more vulnerable for situations where critical infrastructure can be sold out. And that can undermine our resilience. So I convey that message, but also many allies convey that message during the meeting.
华盛顿智库传统基金会的外交政策中心主任、北约问题专家卢克·科菲对《美国之音》说：“你不必是情报官或者是外交学院的学生也会知道，中国正在新冠病毒疫情下趁人之危为自己谋利。”
I mean, in the short term, China has many advantages right now. For example, it's entering the post-COVID era, able to purchase huge amounts of crude oil reserves at bargain prices, so it's building up its strategic reserves that way. Most of the country is not in a lockdown anymore, whereas most of the rest of the world is just in the middle of their lockdowns. And there's this disagreement among policymakers in the West on whether or not we should decouple our manufacturing and our imports from China. And there's division here. So China, at least in the short term, is poised to come out of this crisis not stronger per se, but certainly better off than its other geopolitical competitors in the West.
不过从长远来看，中国能否征服欧洲，大规模的收购欧洲的关键工业和基础设施，目前呢还是一个未知数。曾经做过英国国防大臣顾问的科菲举例说，中国在应对新冠病毒的时候的表现，正影响英国政府让华为公司参与 5G 通信系统的态度。
As we learn with each day, the issues surrounding the origins of COVID and the cover-up by Beijing,I think this has created a lack of trust and a lack of goodwill, especially in Europe on China. And we saw this manifest itself recently with the United Kingdom suggesting that they may review their contract with Huawei over 5G.
美国国务卿蓬佩奥上个星期五说，中国在这场新冠病毒大流行当中呢扮演的角色，会迫使许多的国家重新考虑是否允许华为公司参与 5G 网络建设。对此，他很有信心。美国之音李宝。华盛顿报道。
随着全球对于中国在应对新冠病毒的举措上面的质疑声浪越来越高，中国问题也成为了美国2020年总统大选中的一个热点议题。我们来看美国之音记者平章和宁露的报道。
This is a crisis.
在中国因其应对新冠疫情的举措而受到世界范围内越来越多的批评与质疑之际，特朗普总统和推定的民主党总统提名人拜登之间展开了一场谁对中国强硬、谁对中国软弱之争。特朗普总统的竞选团队在四月初发布了一条负面竞选广告，指出拜登曾反对特朗普总统在中国爆发新冠疫情后下达针对中国的旅行禁令，称拜登是在保护中国的感受。这条竞选广告还提到拜登的儿子亨特·拜登跟中国有巨额商业往来，直指拜登出于家族利益而支持中国的发展。4月16日，支持特朗普总统的超级政治行动委员会美国第一行动花费$10,000,000在密西根、宾夕法尼亚、威斯康辛这三个重要的战场州投放一系列以北京拜登为主题的竞选广告，指责拜登在过去40年中在中国问题上一直是错的。此后，特朗普总统在4月18日发推说，中国非常非常想要瞌睡桥，他们想要收回他们一直在支付给美国的数十亿美元甚至更多。桥是个容易上当的人，是他们理想的候选人。而拜登方面也迅速做出了反击。4月17日，一个民主党超级政治行动委员会美国桥梁21世纪斥资1500万在同样三个战场州投放负面竞选广告，称特朗普总统在新冠疫情中选择相信中国，并为中国提供医疗物资。随后，拜登的竞选团队在4月18日发布了另一条长达1分40秒的竞选广告，指责特朗普总统在疫情蔓延之际倒向中国人，在12月15次夸赞中国。 两位总统竞选人这种针锋相对的局面，表明中国问题成为了这届选战的一个热点议题，也从侧面证明对华强硬已然是两党共识。民意专家指出，这跟美国民众对中国的好感度下降有关。
Even before coronavirus hit the United States with full force, Americans had been souring on China. Their views were turning more negative. In a Gallup poll conducted in mid-February this year, China's rating, favorable rating, tied for the lowest rating in the history of that very long poll. Only 33% had a favorable view of China. At that time, I think we could have probably attributed it to trade tensions and also to Chinese expansionism in the waters in Southeast Asia. So I think that, in Asia. And so I think that those two things set the stage, already negative views, and then when coronavirus hit, they've been exacerbated.
皮尤研究中心4月21日发布的一份最新民调显示，如今三分之二的美国人对中国持负面看法，约90%的美国人将中国的影响力和实力视作一种威胁。从党派来看，72%的共和党人对中国持负面态度，这个比例在民主党人中是62%。这种民意的变化自然带动起两党政客在中国问题上的态度更趋强硬。除了这个因素之外，在竞选中展现对华强硬立场也一直是美国政治人物惯常使用的竞选策略。
Americans want a president who is tough. They fear one who is too bellicose or too weak.
特朗普总统在2016年就充分发挥了这一竞选策略。他对美中之间多年不公平的贸易竞争环境不断地提出强烈批评。这一信息在那些饱受就业机会流失海外之苦的铁锈带制造业大州里获得空前的共鸣。而这些州正是对大选具有决定性意义的关键战场。在2020年的大选中，这些州或同样将决定着最终的选举结果。特朗普与拜登显然都希望利用过去的策略来争取这里的选民。
If that worked last time, they may be thinking that it has a chance to work again this time.
特朗普总统在入主白宫后，虽不时赞扬中国领导人并夸耀他跟中国国家主席习近平的关系，但一场和中国之间长达两年的贸易战足以让他为自己的总统之路贴上对华强硬的标签。在本周二的白宫记者会上，特朗普总统再次强调，没有人比我对中国更强硬。相比而言，拜登由于在担任参议员和副总统期间鼓励中国经济发展和全球化，使得他如今在中国问题上面临更多的弱点。
Well, I think that there are key states that are difficult for someone like Biden because of his long-time relationship with the People's Republic.
奥尔森认为，在美国民意的变化之下，拜登需要从对中国的开放的拥抱姿态变成保持谨慎的距离。在另一方面，拜登在中国问题上的回击还引发了其本党的一些选民的不满。多位进步派评论员撰文批评拜登在竞选广告中使用了他们所说的和特朗普一样的仇外语言，背离了民主党的基本价值观。特朗普总统2020年竞选活动的联络主任蒂姆·墨菲表示，特朗普的竞选团队会将他与拜登在中国问题上的差别作为一个主打议题持续宣传。分析人士认为，中国问题如何在美国大选中发酵，也会影响到大选后美中关系的走向。美国之音记者平章、明路华盛顿报道。
卫生纸在这场新冠病毒疫情中和口罩还有消毒液一起成为了最为紧俏的防疫物资。那么面对一个造成上呼吸道疾病的病毒，人们为何恐慌抢购卫生纸？而卫生纸的紧缺状况是否已经得到缓解？我们来听听专家的解读。
在新冠疫情全球大流行中，厕纸在很多地方成为抢手货，往往一卷难求。
Demand is still outpacing supply, but we're working as hard as humanly possible so that everyone can get the products that they know and love and can keep enjoying the go with Charmin.
包括 Charmin 在内的这些厕纸品牌已经加大马力，7天24小时不间断生产。他们在向消费者承诺保障产品供应的同时，也呼吁民众合理消费。一些心理学家和经济学家说， 人们囤厕纸就和囤食物这些生活必需品一样，是为了在充满不确定的危机中获得安全感。
More of it is like feeling of scarcity as well as uncertainty that how long things will go. And if you see the pattern, demand pattern, initially the demand increased, but the demand was not that high. And when people hear more and more people are buying, then you generate an artificial feeling of shortage. And that leads to a lot of hoarding.
也有一些经济学家指出，美国出现厕纸一卷难求，并非全是民众恐慌消费所致。他们说，居家避疫后提供免费厕纸的商场和办公场所人去楼空，家用厕纸要承受起全部重托，每家每户的增量加起来足以影响到供应链。天普大学经济学家库马尔说，虽然美国厕纸的供应链90%在国内，但是商用和家用厕纸不同，两者的生产线难以互换。
So even though the consumer demand has gone almost 40% for toilet paper in this period, but commercial demand has gone down. But you can't just replace them because there are two big reasons for that. Number one, the packaging is very different. The commercial one comes in big rolls that cannot fit in consumer houses. And second big reason is that the material they use for commercial is very different from what you use for consumer product. So consumer product, we use virgin fiber, but for commercial, we don't use such a high quality.
文化人类学家奥茨基说，厕纸似乎是人们可以随意丢弃的低端物品，但是它已然成为现代生活方式的基础，而且在关键时刻可以发挥至关重要的作用。
I think you can think of it in terms of a hierarchy of household paper, in which you have things like books or old letters, or you know, they might be sacred texts like the Bible or something like that. They sit at the top, and they're very important because of what's written on them. They have a high symbolic importance.And then you have things like newspapers and magazines, which are a bit more disposable. And then you have packaging, which also has, you know, pictures and symbols on it, but is even more disposable than magazines or newspapers. And then at the bottom of the bottom, you have things like toilet paper. And toilet paper has almost no symbolic value, right? Nobody cares about what's written on toilet paper. They care about it being clean, and they care about it being paper that you can flush down the toilet. Now, the interesting part of this hierarchy is that the things on the bottom you can use to substitute it for the things at the top. So you could potentially substitute toilet paper for a notepad or something to write on.
不过对于多数美国人来说，他们紧盯着的也许并不是哲学意义上的厕纸，而是现实货架上的厕纸。
Hopefully what is going to happen is that since demand is going down and we had enoughmanufacturing, we should not have that big a problem in a few weeks, at least with the toilet paper.
美国之音墨语，华盛顿报道。
国会众议院外交事务委员会亚太小组委员会主席阿米贝拉议员最近接受美国之音记者张佩芝的专访， 他表示，疫情之后美中关系何去何从将很大程度上取决于北京的态度。他说，如果北京继续以不诚实不透明的态度行事，那么美中关系将会恶化。来看报道。
Congressman, let's turn to talk about the current state of U.S.-China relations as it relates to the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you think the Chinese government could have done more to share with information with the United States when the outbreak first happened in Wuhan, China?
I think China's response when we were seeing the first reports of the outbreak were totally inappropriate. You know, we wanted to send the best scientists from the CDC, the NIH, and from around the world to the hotspot.Not just to protect the United States, but to help China understand this disease and get ahead of it. You know, the lack of transparency, I think, was appalling. And I think it's shocking to many of us around the world. I hope the lesson learned here is if we find ourselves in a situation like this, we have to work together because it affects all of us.
There seems to be a lot of information that we don't know, and the Trump administration has requested information from China. As a member of Congress, what kind of information would you like for China to provide right now to, for you to understand, for us to understand more about this outbreak?
We know the virus originated in Wuhan. Yeah, was it accidental from one of the wet markets jumping to humans?Yeah, there's these reports of State Department cables of potentially lax safety standards at some of the labs. You know, looking backwards and trying to blame one another and play politics doesn't help anyone. But let's actually understand where this virus came from, how it jumped to humans, and how it spread. That requires, if China wants to be a global leader, if they want to set an example for the world, they can't be secretive. Global leaders have to take responsibility for the good things and the bad things.And they have to work together with the entire global world. This is a chance for China to show its leadership by allowing people to come in and studying it and not hiding data and facts, because we want to make sure we understand this virus so it will help us recover, but we also want to prevent the next pandemic.
The COVID-19 outbreak began in China, but right now Beijing is conducting a widespread disinformation campaign to change that narrative. For example, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson took to Twitter to say that it may be the U.S. military brought the virus to Wuhan. What are your responses to these kind of spurious claims and unfounded conspiracy theories?
I think conspiracy theories, fake claims like,hey, it may have started in the United States or elsewhere, just don't help anything. You know, let's deal with the facts. Let's be adults about this. Disinformation, lack of transparency doesn't help anyone. And again, if China wants to be taken seriously as a global leader, it has to act the part.
What message would you like to send to our audience in China?
You know, to the audience in China, a virus doesn't understand borders. It doesn't understand your religion.The color of your skin. This is a virus, and it's affected the entire planet. I'm not here to, as a doctor and a member of Congress, I'm not here to place blame anywhere, but I am here to express concern that we have to work together to understand this virus, which killed a lot of Chinese nationals, but also to help prepare and prevent the next virus. So the world is in this together, and this is the time for China.To step up its leadership, work with the rest of the world, and be transparent so we have a good understanding of what happened.
Thank you so much, Congressman Barra, for your time and speaking with Voice of America.
全球新冠疫情将威胁到将近1500年的穆斯林传统。下面我们就一起去看一看，全球20亿的穆斯林将会如何度过本周开始的斋月。
麦城圣家寺的天房是穆斯林最神圣的场所，通常来自世界各地的信徒在斋月期间都汇集到这里朝圣，但现在这里空无一人。作为伊斯兰教发源地的沙特阿拉伯向信徒们关闭了清真寺的大门，甚至穆斯林先知清真寺也已经关闭，政府下令所有人在家里祈祷。世界各地的穆斯林都在努力应对同样严峻的现实，他们最神圣的斋月通常伴随集体盛宴和会众祈祷，如今则不得不与其他人保持距离。 他们的清真寺将一直是空的，就像斋月前这个特殊的祈祷之夜的景象一样。清真寺的关闭也会影响到许多生活窘迫的人。许多清真寺通常在斋月期间由一些个人或团体在那里举行慈善活动，而变为穷人的免费食堂，但今年不是这样。在开罗的阿訇艾斯兰·艾尔舍比尼通过电话告诉美国之音说，许多人都设法通过其他方式维持这种施舍的精神。
دسترخوان نہ ہونے کی وجہ سے ہم نے راشن کی تعداد ہے وہ زیادہ کر دی کیونکہ بہت زیادہ لوگ اس سے افیکٹڈ ہوئے ہیں اور ہر قسم کا کاروبار بند ہے اس بار ہمارے راشن بیگز جو ہیں وہ اس کی اماؤنٹ 2000 بیگ پلس چلے گئے ہیں ابھی تک اور یہ سلسلہ پورے رمضان چلتا رہے گا انشاءاللہ。
许多国家对城市内的行动进行限制，而穆斯林人口最多的国家印度尼西亚干脆禁止了斋月旅行。数千万希望离开大城市回到家乡的民众不得不远离家人独自过节。在一些像巴基斯坦和阿富汗的穆斯林国家，政府在神职人员的压力下保持清真寺开放，不过出台了安全指南。卫生官员担心这些指南将难以实施。斋月结束后的第二天是穆斯林最喜庆的节日之一——开斋节。许多穆斯林国家已经禁止开斋节集体祈祷和随后的庆祝活动。美国之音记者坦基姆·伊斯兰堡报道。
意大利的新冠病毒死亡人数全球第二，全国封锁已经进入了第七周。下面我们就一起去看一看两位生活在罗马的美国人的故事。
歌剧演员的独唱歌声成了这座城市曾经热闹过的唯一迹象。美国人安妮·奥吉勒住在罗马的老城区。
I've made a friend in quarantine, and so he sings, and I take videos of him, and I post it on my social media.
在新冠疫情爆发前，奥吉勒经营一个名为“骑摩托逛罗马”的小公司，向游客提供伪试牌摩托车游览罗马。罗马的隔离政策延续到至少5月3日，这令他无论在精神和财务上都备受压力。
I really thrive with being with people.Professionally and also personally, so that has been a big challenge for me. I miss having interaction with people. I haven't fallen for all this Zoom and video stuff because for me, I just want the real thing.
他已经将近两个月没有见到任何朋友，包括距离他只有几个街区的美国朋友利维亚·亨格尔。这两位女性走出家门不得超过200米，除非有签字的法律文件解释她们为什么要离开家。
Apart from the cashier at the grocery store and, you know, the wine delivery guy, I haven't seen any humans.
和安妮不同的是，来自维吉尼亚的旅游作家利维亚喜欢虚拟交流。
It's a strange situation, but obviously we have the internet. So a lot of Skype chats and Zoom chats, of course.
尽管奥吉勒和亨格尔远离他们在美国的家人，同时眼看他们依赖旅游业的生意每况愈下，但他们在罗马已经生活了十几年，有信心看到熙熙攘攘的游客再次遍布这座意大利城市的街道。
We have to distance ourselves so we can come together. It's not going to be forever. We will be able to do it.
I think the Italian reaction has been quite resilient and, you know, ironic in some ways and trying to.You know, handle the situation with some humor and just with a lot of heart because it's the only thing you can do.
意大利政府三月份给个人和商家发放了600欧元，并在四月宣布了又一项经济刺激计划，以重振因新冠疫情的隔离政策而受重创的企业。美国之音伊斯拉姆报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。今天是4月25号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国会众议院星期四晚上通过了新的纾困法案，特朗普总统将于星期五中午签署通过。此外，他还批评乔治亚州州长星期五开始重启一些经济活动。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄杨毅的报道。
截至美国时间4月24号星期五为止呢，美国境内感染了新型冠状病毒的人数已经达到了大约90万人，而死亡人数也已经突破了5万人。那么就在星期四呢，美国的国会众议院通过了这个法案，薪资保障项目以及加强健保法案。国会议长佩洛西表示，这笔钱呢将用来帮助弱势族群以及小型企业。我们来看一下佩洛西是怎么说的。
So $60 billion in a set aside for, shall we say, the underbanked, the women, minorities, veterans, Native Americans, rural folks, people who didn't have big banking relationships but had big credit needs. Another $60 billion in loans and grants for small businesses, all of small businesses. And then $100 billion for hospitals and testing.
之前白宫曾经推出三个阶段的重启经济活动的指南方针，不过呢，现在有几个南方的州在还没有达到标准的情况之下就已经准备要重启经济活动了，包括了乔治亚州在今天也就是星期五就已经要重新开放包括健身房、理法院、保龄球馆等等的项目。对此呢，特朗普总统在白宫的疫情简报会上只是表达了他对于乔治亚州州长的不满。
I want the states to openMore than he does, much more than he does. But I didn't like to see spas at this early stage, nor did the doctors. Is that a correct statement, Deborah? I didn't like to see spas opening, frankly. I didn't like to see a lot of things happening, and I wasn't happy with it. And I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. Spas, beauty parlors, tattoo parlors. No, that's that.And by the way, I want them to open. Excuse me. I want them to open.And I want them to open as soon as possible. And I want the state to open. But I wasn't happy with Brian Kemp. I will tell you that right now. Yeah.
之前 CNN 报道说朝鲜最高领导人金正恩开刀失败在医院当中病危的消息，那么对此呢，特朗普总统在星期四晚上的新闻简报会上则是驳斥 CNN 的报道是假新闻。
I don't want to say, I will say that
okay,
we have a good relationship with North Korea, as good as you can have. I mean, we have a good relationship with North Korea. I have a good relationship with Kim Jong-un, and I hope he's okay. And somebody would say, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not terrible. I hope he's okay.And I think it was a fake report.
根据韩联社的报道，韩国青瓦台的高层官员表示，金正恩以及他的亲信目前是停留在地方的城市，没有迹象显示金正恩的身体有恙。那至于金正恩离开平壤的理由呢，有可能是因为亲信感染了冠状病毒。而韩国统一部的副发言人曹慧时24号在例行记者会上也说，韩国的国家安全保障会议常务委员会也讨论了最新朝鲜的动向，并且强调朝鲜的内部现在没有异常的情况出现。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
北约领导人警告说，中国可能趁欧洲深受新冠疫情打击之际掠夺工业资源和基础设施。不过分析人士也指出，中国对疫情的态度可能使得欧洲国家更加的抗拒中国。我们来看美国之音记者李宝的报道。
北约4月15号举行了国防部长视讯会议，讨论了在新冠病毒疫情当头之时如何加强合作维护战备能力。之后呢，北约秘书长斯图尔滕贝格在记者会上说，与会者讨论了新冠病毒疫情对北约安全的长远影响。
The geopolitical effects of the pandemic could be significant. Some may seek to use the economic downturn as an opening to invest in our critical industries and infrastructure, which in turn may affect our long-term security and our ability to deal with the next crisis when it comes.
斯图尔滕贝格在书面发言的时候呢，没有直接提到是什么人在趁人之危。不过呢，在接下来的问答环节当中，有记者直接提到中国一直在欧洲购买具有军事和战略意义的基础设施和关键的厂商。斯图尔滕贝格在回答的时候呢，进一步解释了北约国家的忧虑。
And the fact that we will now most likely have an economic downturn make some allies more vulnerable for situations where critical infrastructure can be sold out, and that can undermine our resilience. So I convey that message, but also many allies convey that message during the meeting.
华盛顿智库传统基金会的外交政策中心主任、北约问题专家卢克·科菲对美国之音说：“你不必是情报官或者是外交学院的学生也会知道。”中国正在新冠病毒疫情下趁人之危为自己谋利。
I mean, in the short term, China has many advantages right now. For example, it's entering the post-COVID era, able to purchase huge amounts of crude oil reserves at bargain prices. So it's building up its strategic reserves that way. Most of the country is not in a lockdown anymore, whereas most of the rest of the world is just in the middle of their lockdowns.And there's this disagreement among policymakers in the West on whether or not we should decouple our manufacturing and our imports from China. And there's division here. So China, at least in the short term, is poised to come out of this crisis not stronger per se, but certainly better off than its other geopolitical competitors in the West.
不过从长远来看，中国能否征服欧洲，大规模的收购欧洲的关键工业和基础设施，目前呢还是一个未知数。曾经做过英国国防大臣顾问的科菲举例说，中国在应对新冠病毒的时候的表现，正影响英国政府让华为公司参与 5G 通信系统的态度。
As we learn with each day, the issues surrounding the origins of COVID and the cover-up by Beijing,I think this has created a lack of trust and a lack of goodwill, especially in Europe on China. And we saw this manifest itself recently with the United Kingdom suggesting that they may review their contract with Huawei over 5G.
美国国务卿蓬佩奥上个星期五说，中国在这场新冠病毒大流行当中呢扮演的角色，会迫使许多的国家重新考虑是否允许华为公司参与 5G 网络建设。对此，他很有信心。美国之音李宝。华盛顿报道。
随着全球对于中国在应对新冠病毒的举措上面的质疑声浪越来越高，中国问题也成为了美国2020年总统大选中的一个热点议题。我们来看美国之音记者平章和宁露的报道。
This is a crisis.
在中国因其应对新冠疫情的举措而受到世界范围内越来越多的批评与质疑之际，特朗普总统和推定的民主党总统提名人拜登之间展开了一场谁对中国强硬、谁对中国软弱之争。特朗普总统的竞选团队在四月初发布了一条负面竞选广告，指出拜登曾反对特朗普总统在中国爆发新冠疫情后下达针对中国的旅行禁令，称拜登是在保护中国的感受。这条竞选广告还提到拜登的儿子亨特·拜登跟中国有巨额商业往来，直指拜登出于家族利益而支持中国的发展。四月十六日，支持特朗普总统的超级政治行动委员会“美国第一行动”花费$10,000,000在密西根、宾夕法尼亚、威斯康辛这三个重要的战场州投放一系列以“北京拜登”为主题的竞选广告。指责拜登在过去40年中在中国问题上一直是错的。此后，特朗普总统在4月18日发推说，中国非常非常想要瞌睡桥，他们想要收回他们一直在支付给美国的数十亿美元甚至更多。乔是个容易上当的人，是他们理想的候选人。
Everyone knew they lied about.
而拜登方面也迅速做出了反击。4月17日。一个民主党超级政治行动委员会美国桥梁21世纪 斥资1500万，在同样三个战场州投放负面竞选广告，称特朗普总统在新冠疫情中选择相信中国，并为中国提供医疗物资。随后，拜登的竞选团队在4月18日发布了另一条长达1分40秒的竞选广告，指责特朗普总统在疫情蔓延之际倒向中国人，在1、2月份15次夸赞中国。两位总统竞选人这种针锋相对的局面，表明中国问题成为了这届选战的一个热点议题，也从侧面证明对华强硬已然是两党共识。民意专家指出，这跟美国民众对中国的好感度下降有关。
Even before coronavirus hit the United States with full force, Americans had been souring on China. Their views were turning more negative. In a Gallup poll conducted in mid-February this year, China's rating, favorable rating, tied for the lowest rating in the history of that very long poll. Only 33% had a favorable view of China. At that time, I think we could have probably attributed it to trade tensions and also to Chinese expansionism in the waters in Southeast Asia. So I think that, in Asia. And so I think that those two things set the stage, already negative views, and then when coronavirus hit, they've been exacerbated.
皮尤研究中心4月21日发布的一份最新民调显示，如今2/3的美国人对中国持负面看法，约90%的美国人将中国的影响力和实力视作一种威胁。从党派来看，72%的共和党人对中国持负面态度。这个比例在民主党人中是62%。这种民意的变化自然带动起两党政客在中国问题上的态度更趋强硬。除了这个因素之外，在竞选中展现对华强硬立场也一直是美国政治人物惯常使用的竞选策略。
Americans want a president who is tough. They fear one who is too bellicose or too weak.
特朗普总统在2016年就充分发挥了这一竞选策略，他对美中之间多年不公平的贸易竞争环境不断地提出强烈批评。这一信息在那些饱受就业机会流失海外之苦的铁锈带制造业大州里获得空前的共鸣，而这些州正是对大选具有决定性意义的关键战场。在2020年的大选中，这些州或同样将决定着最终的选举结果。特朗普与拜登显然都希望利用过去的策略来争取这里的选民。
If that worked last time, they may be thinking that it has a chance to work again this time.
特朗普总统在入主白宫后，虽不时赞扬中国领导人，并夸耀他跟中国国家主席习近平的关系，但一场和中国之间长达2年的贸易战，足以让他为自己的总统之路贴上对华强硬的标签。在本周二的白宫记者会上，特朗普总统再次强调，没有人比我对中国更强硬。相比而言，拜登由于在担任参议员和副总统期间鼓励中国经济发展和全球化，使得他如今在中国问题上面临更多的弱点。
Well, I think that there are key states that are difficult for someone like Biden.Because of his long-time relationship with the People's Republic.
奥尔森认为，在美国民意的变化之下，拜登需要从对中国的开放的拥抱姿态变成保持谨慎的距离。在另一方面，拜登在中国问题上的回击还引发了其本党的一些选民的不满。多位进步派评论员撰文批评拜登在竞选广告中使用了他们所说的和特朗普一样的仇外语言，背离了民主党的基本价值观。特朗普总统2020年竞选活动的联络主任蒂姆·莫菲表示，特朗普的竞选团队会将他与拜登在中国问题上的差别作为一个主打议题持续宣传。分析人士认为，中国问题如何在美国大选中发酵，也会影响到大选后美中关系的走向。美国之音记者平章、宁路华盛顿报道。
卫生纸在这场新冠病毒疫情中和口罩还有消毒液一起成为了最为紧俏的防疫物资。那么面对一个造成上呼吸道疾病的病毒，人们为何恐慌抢购卫生纸？而卫生纸的紧缺状况是否已经得到缓解？我们来听听专家的解读。
在新冠疫情全球大流行中，厕纸 在很多地方成为抢手货，往往一卷难求。
Demand is still outpacing supply, but we're working as hard as humanly possible so that everyone can get the products that they know and love and can keep enjoying the go with Charmin.
包括 Charmin 在内的这些测纸品牌已经加大马力，七天二十四小时不间断生产。他们在向消费者承诺保障产品供应的同时，也呼吁民众合理消费。一些心理学家和经济学家说，人们囤厕纸就和囤食物这些生活必需品一样，是为了在充满不确定的危机中获得安全感。
More of it is like feeling of scarcity as well as uncertainty that how long things will go. And if you see the pattern, demand pattern, initially the demand increased, but the demand was not that high. And when people hear more and more people are buying, then you generate an artificial feeling of shortage, and that leads to a lot of hoarding.
也有一些经济学家指出，美国出现厕纸一卷难求，并非全是民众恐慌消费所致。他们说，居家避疫后提供免费厕纸的商场和办公场所人去楼空，家用厕纸要承受起全部重托，每家每户的增量加起来足以影响到供应链。天普大学经济学家库马尔说，虽然美国厕纸的供应链90%在国内，但是商用和家用厕纸不同，两者的生产线难以互换。
So even though the consumer demand has gone almost 40% for toilet paper, in this period, commercial demand has gone down. But you can't just replace them, because there are two big reasons for that. Number one, the packaging is very different. The commercial one comes in big rolls that cannot fit in consumer houses. And second big reason is that the material they use.For commercial is very different from what you use for consumer product. So consumer product we use virgin fiber, but for commercial we don't use such a high quality.
文化人类学家奥茨基说，厕纸似乎是人们可以随意丢弃的低端物品，但是它已然成为现代生活方式的基础，而且在关键时刻可以发挥至关重要的作用。
I think you can think of it in terms of a hierarchy of household paper, in which you have things like books or old letters, or you know, they might be sacred texts like the Bible or something like that. They sit at the top and they're very important because of what's written on them.They have a high symbolic importance. And then you have things like newspapers and magazines, which are a bit more disposable. And then you have packaging, which also has, you know, pictures and symbols on it, but is even more disposable than magazines or newspapers. And then at the bottom of the bottom, you have things like toilet paper. And toilet paper has almost no symbolic value, right? Nobody cares about what's written on toilet paper. They care about it beingclean, and they care about it being paper that you can flush down the toilet. Now, the interesting part of this hierarchy is that the things on the bottom you can use to substitute it for the things at the top. So you could potentially substitute toilet paper for a notepad or something to write on.
不过对于多数美国人来说，他们紧盯着的也许并不是哲学意义上的厕纸，而是现实货架上的厕纸。
Hopefully what is going to happen is that since demand is going down and we had enoughmanufacturing, we should not have that big a problem in a few weeks, at least with the toilet paper.
美国之音墨语，华盛顿报道。
美国国会众议院外交事务委员会亚太小组委员会主席阿米贝拉议员最近接受美国之音记者张佩芝的专访，他表示疫情之后美中关系何去何从将很大程度上取决于北京的态度。他说如果北京继续以不诚实不透明的态度行事，那么美中关系将会恶化。来看报道。
Congressman, let's turn to talk about the current state of U.S.-China relations as it relates to the COVID-19 pandemic. Do you think the Chinese government could have done more to share with information with the United States when the outbreak first happened in Wuhan, China?
I think China's response when we were seeing the first reports of the outbreak were totally inappropriate. You know, we wanted to send the best scientists from the CDC, the NIH, and from around the world to the hotspot.Not just to protect the United States, but to help China understand this disease and get ahead of it. You know, the lack of transparency, I think, was appalling. And I think it's shocking to many of us around the world. I hope the lesson learned here is if we find ourselves in a situation like this, we have to work together because it affects all of us.
There seems to be a lot of information that we don't know, and the Trump administration has requested information from China. As a member of Congress, what kind of information would you like for China to provide right now to for you to understand, for us to understand more about this outbreak?
We know the virus originated in Wuhan. You know, was it accidental from one of the wet markets jumping to humans?Yeah, there's these reports of State Department cables of potentially lax safety standards at some of the labs. You know, looking backwards and trying to blame one another and play politics doesn't help anyone. But let's actually understand where this virus came from, how it jumped to humans, and how it spread. That requires, if China wants to be a global leader, if they want to set an example for the world, they can't be secretive. Global leaders have to take responsibility for the good things and the bad things.And they have to work together with the entire global world. This is a chance for China to show its leadership by allowing people to come in and studying it and not hiding data and facts, because we want to make sure we understand this virus so it will help us recover, but we also want to prevent the next pandemic.
The COVID-19 outbreak began in China, but right now Beijing is conducting a widespread disinformation campaign to change that narrative. For example, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson took to Twitter to say that it may be the U.S. military brought the virus to Wuhan. What are your responses to these kind of spurious claims and unfounded conspiracy theories?
I think conspiracy theories, fake claims like,hey, it may have started in the United States or elsewhere, just don't help anything. You know, let's deal with the facts. Let's be adults about this. Disinformation, lack of transparency doesn't help anyone. And again, if China wants to be taken seriously as a global leader, it has to act the part.
What message would you like to send to our audience in China?
You know, to the audience in China, a virus doesn't understand borders. It doesn't understand your religion.The color of your skin. This is a virus, and it's affected the entire planet. I'm not here to, as a doctor and a member of Congress, I'm not here to place blame anywhere, but I am here to express concern that we have to work together to understand this virus, which killed a lot of Chinese nationals, but also to help prepare and prevent the next virus. So the world is in this together, and this is the time for China.To step up its leadership, work with the rest of the world, and be transparent so we have a good understanding of what happened.
Thank you so much, Congressman Barra, for your time and speaking with Voice of America.
全球新冠疫情将威胁到将近1500年的穆斯林传统。下面我们就一起去看一看，全球20亿的穆斯林将会如何度过本周开始的斋月。
麦城圣家寺的天房是穆斯林最神圣的场所，通常来自世界各地的信徒在斋月期间都汇集到这里朝圣，但现在这里空无一人。作为伊斯兰教发源地的沙特阿拉伯向信徒们关闭了清真寺的大门，甚至穆斯林先知清真寺也已经关闭，政府下令所有人在家里祈祷。世界各地的穆斯林都在努力应对同样严峻的现实， 他们最神圣的斋月通常伴随集体盛宴和会众祈祷，如今则不得不与其他人保持距离。他们的清真寺将一直是空的，就像斋月前这个特殊的祈祷之夜的景象一样。
रात की कैफियत ये होती थी कि यहाँ मस्जिद हमारी फुल होती थी और सारी रात लोग जो थे वो इबादत में मसरूफ होते थे। अब इस दफा 15 शाबानुल मुअज्जम की रात यानी शबे बरात में हाल ये था कि मैं अकेला ही मुसल्ले पे बैठा था इशा की नमाज के बाद, कोई नमाजी नहीं था।
清真寺的关闭也会影响到许多生活窘迫的人。许多清真寺通常在斋月期间由一些个人或团体在那里举行慈善活动而变为穷人的免费食堂，但今年不是这样。在开罗的阿訇艾斯兰·艾尔舍比尼通过电话告诉美国之音说，
وكان بفضل الله بيعمل شنط رمضان وبيعمل مساعدات مالية وعينية للناس طبعا الموضوع ده في ظل الأجواء اللي احنا فيها وظل الأزمة اللي احنا فيها حاليا هيبقى قليل شوية بس إن شاء الله يكون فيه خير برضو إن شاء الله
许多人都设法通过其他方式维持这种施舍的精神
دسترخان نہ ہونے کی وجہ سے ہم نے راشن کی تعداد ہے وہ زیادہ کر دیا کیونکہ بہت زیادہ لوگ اس سے افیکٹڈ ہوئے ہیں اور ہر قسم کا کاروبار بند ہے اس بار ہمارے راشن بیگ جو ہیں وہ اس کی اماؤنٹ 2000 بیگ پلس چلے گئے ہیں ابھی تک اور یہ سلسلہ پورے رمضان چلتا رہے گا انشاءاللہ
许多国家对城市内的行动进行限制，而穆斯林人口最多的国家印度尼西亚干脆禁止了斋月旅行。数千万希望离开大城市回到家乡的民众不得不远离家人独自过节。在一些像巴基斯坦和阿富汗的穆斯林国家，政府在神职人员的压力下保持清真寺开放，不过出台了安全指南。卫生官员担心这些指南将难以实施。斋月结束后的第二天是穆斯林最喜庆的节日之一——开斋节。许多穆斯林国家已经禁止开斋节集体祈祷和随后的庆祝活动。美国之音记者坦基姆·伊斯兰堡报道。
意大利的新冠病毒死亡人数全球第二，全国封锁已经进入了第七周。下面我们就一起去看一看两位生活在罗马的美国人的故事。
歌剧演员的独唱歌声成了这座城市曾经热闹过的唯一迹象。美国人安妮·奥吉勒住在罗马的老城区。
I've made a friend in quarantine, and so he sings, and I take videos of him, and I post it on my social media.
在新冠疫情爆发前，奥吉勒经营一个名为“骑摩托逛罗马”的小公司，向游客提供伟士牌摩托车游览罗马。罗马的隔离政策延续到至少5月3日，这令他无论在精神和财务上都备受压力。
I really thrive with being with people.Professionally and also personally, so that has been a big challenge for me. I miss having interaction with people. I haven't fallen for all this Zoom and video stuff because for me, I just want the real thing.
他已经将近两个月没有见到任何朋友，包括距离他只有几个街区的美国朋友利维亚·亨格尔。这两位女性走出家门不得超过200米，除非有签字的法律文件解释她们为什么要离开家。
Apart from the cashier at the grocery store and you know the wine delivery guy, I haven't seen any humans.
和安妮不同的是，来自维吉尼亚的旅游作家利维亚喜欢虚拟交流。
It's a strange situation, but obviously we have the internet, so a lot of Skype chats and Zoom chats, of course.
尽管奥吉勒和亨格尔远离他们在美国的家人，同时眼看他们依赖旅游业的生意每况愈下，但他们在罗马已经生活了十几年，有信心看到熙熙攘攘的游客再次遍布这座意大利城市的街道。
We have to distance ourselves so we can come together. It's not going to be forever. We will be able to do it.
I think the Italian reaction has been quite...resilient and you know ironic in some ways and trying to you know handle the situation with some humor and just with a lot of heart because it's the only thing you can do.
意大利政府三月份给个人和商家发放了600欧元，并在四月宣布了又一项经济刺激计划， 以重振因新冠疫情的隔离政策而受重创的企业。美国之音伊斯拉姆报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。